Well, that was fun, huh? Yeah, grab your Bible. We're going to walk through some stuff together tonight. So make sure you got that. Wait till you see the promo video that Caleb's working on for January. Holy Toledo Batman, is all I'm saying. And if you were wondering what I would use, what word I would use to describe that whole scenario, cattywampus up in here. All right, so if you don't know what cattywampus is, it's a fake word that only people from... Really? Someone wrote it right there? That is unbelievable. God, my life is a cattywampus. All right, so we have a little series we're doing on the Ten Commandments. The reason we're doing this is we're starting a new series in January in 1 John. It's a bit towards the end of the Bible. It's not about toilets, but we're doing a series on 1 John. And a portion of in 1 John, he repeats commandments, 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 commandments. He's not speaking like, hey, memorize these, memorize these, memorize these. But he's using the context of the commandments to really speak to what he's talking with his audience. So we thought these 2 weeks here before Christmas would be a good place for us to get into the Ten Commandments, kind of the pillar of modern morality, and then to work from there and kind of unpack that so when we get into January, it'll be a party. So just so you know that I didn't roll out of bed and think, you know, it'd be awesome, Charlton Heston and the Ten Commandments. No. And I'll say when I first kind of started thinking about God and coming to understand God and really beginning to think of who he is and what he was like, a lot of my perception of Christianity and religion was that God was one of rules. He was one of don't do this, don't do this, don't do this, don't do this, don't do this. And so my perception of God was one that he tells you a lot of things not to do. And if you happen not to do those things, then you're in God's, you know, good graces. But if you do do those things, he's going to be really upset. And when God, all-powerful, all-knowing, wrath of fury, God is able to do bad things, and you're one he wants to do bad things to, then it's a bad deal for God to want to do bad things to you. And so my perception of God was really jaded because the Ten Commandments came to me a place in which I felt like God was really unreasonable, that he would look to us as people and would say, don't do this, 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 don't do this. And the whole thing that I perceived about God was, as I come to him, clearly he can't love me because the very first things out of his mouth are, don't do this. And so my perception of God, Jesus, Christianity was really off. And so then I came around to a passage after I came to know Jesus and I experienced Jesus and had a moment in a service that someone invited me to and I said, clearly this God is real. I had a moment when I was reading the Bible and reading what Jesus said that my perception of the Ten Commandments and what God said changed. And so we're going to put that on the screen for you. It's Matthew 22, verses 34 to 40. And we'll read this all together. It's up there, but it says this. But when the Pharisees heard that he had silenced the Sadducees, which are two different kinds of teachers, you can call them like Baptists and Methodists, they gathered together. Then one of them, a lawyer, asked Jesus a question, testing him, and saying, Teacher, which is the greatest commandment in the law? Jesus said to him, You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the first and great commandment. And the second is like it, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments hang all the laws and the prophets. Now, as Jesus says this, he's got a guy who's trying to play entrapment for him. So the purpose of this guy is let's get Jesus to say something wrong so we can accuse him and stone him. So the guy comes up and says, what's the greatest commandment? Now, this is a really big pop quiz because there's 613 commandments in the Old Testament. 613. Now, there's 10 that we consider to be the benchmark ones that kind of talk about all the others, but there's 613 in there. There are 248 that deal with positive things, do this, do this, do this. There are 365 that deal with negative, do not do this. And so when the guy comes up and says, which one's the best, you have multiple choice of 615. That's worse than the SAT, right? That's an awful pick the best. And so Jesus has got his boys with him. He's got 12 guys who party with him and some other dudes and girls who hang out. And so they're like, oh, dang it. Because it's the question you don't want to be asked publicly. Like after he just made these other guys look like a fool, this other guy comes up and says, which is the greatest of all the commandments? And then all his disciples go, dang. And so Jesus looks at him and says, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, with all your strength. And at that point, his disciples had to like celebrate and go, dang. Like that's one of those moments where like if it was a rap battle, he just shut it down for a second. And then is Tanner Roberts in here? Nope. what I did to Tanner Roberts at summer camp. Shut it down, all right? You can view that online. Facebook.com/thefactorystudents, rap battle number 2. Okay, so those sorts of things would happen. Everybody walks away and just goes, dang, shut it down. Okay, so then he comes back after that, and that's probably the point where the disciples were like, shh, got him. Like, you got him, bro. But he brings it back up and says, and the other is like it, that you shall love your neighbor as yourself. On this hangs everything in the Bible. And so Jesus summarized 613 in a matter of 2 things: love God and love your neighbor. Now, when we look at the 10 commandments, there's 10. The first 4 deal with how we love God. The last 6 are how we deal with people. And what I want you to get is, we're starting something new tonight. We'll see if it works or it doesn't work. But you've got something on the bottom of your handout that says the bottom line, right? I am crafty. Watch this. The bottom line of tonight, if you don't get anything, right, the very bottom line, witty, is I can love God. That's it. If you don't get anything else, if you don't remember anything else, if you don't have a part of tonight where you leave afterwards and you say, I have no way of summarizing what happened in that evening, I am cattywampus in the brain. If you have no way of doing that, you can come back and say, I can love God. That's it. Everything about tonight hinges on that. And so what we want to do is we're going to open up to Exodus 20. This is where the Ten Commandments are written down at. They're also in Deuteronomy chapter 5. They're just revisited at another point before the people kind of change a little bit. But Exodus 20 is our first glance at it, all right? So Exodus 20, there's a Bible underneath your chair if you don't have one for yourself, so you can read along with us. But we're going to read verses 2 to 17 tonight, and then we're going to kind of walk through all of them kind of piece by piece, all right? So Exodus 20, page 31, we're going to start in verse 2. It says this: I am the Lord, your God, who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. You shall have no other gods before me. You shall not make yourself a carved image, any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. You shall not bow down to them nor serve them, for I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children to the 3rd and 4th generations of those who hate me, but showing mercy to thousands to those who love me and keep my commandments. You shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless who takes his name in vain. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the 7th day is the Sabbath of the Lord your God. In it you shall do no work, you, nor your son, nor your daughter, nor your male servant, nor your female servant, nor your cattle, nor your stranger who is within your gates. For in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth, the sea, and all that is in them, and rested the 7th day. Therefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. Honor your father and your mother, that your days may be long upon the land which the Lord your God has given you. You shall not murder. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not steal. You shall not bear false witness against your neighbor. You shall not covet your neighbor's house. You shall not covet your neighbor's wife, nor his male servant, nor his female servant, nor his ox, nor his donkey, nor anything that is your neighbor's. All right, so there's the list. There's the 10. There's certain parts where God elaborates on stuff, but that's the list. And we'll kind of come back and visit each of those verses. We're dealing with the first 4 commandments tonight. But the question we're going to ask you over the next 2 weeks as we walk through all of this, and one you need to ask yourself in regards to the 10 commandments, is the first question we have there is God reasonable? Is God reasonable? By reading what we read, and as we walk through that, ask yourself, is God reasonable by asking this? Because there could be something where, like for me, I felt like God was being unreasonable by saying, don't. And my perception of God was one that he always says, don't. And so now, for me, one of the things I found that as I packed through this and just said, is God reasonable by asking this, that resolved a lot of tension, all right? So the 10 commandments we're dealing with tonight have to do with loving God, or the 4 we're dealing with tonight. We're going to put it up on the screen just to summarize the 4 we're dealing with. That you should have no other gods, so don't have other gods. That's verse 3. No carved images, which is a way that they symbolized other gods, is verses 4 to 6. Do not take the Lord's name in vain. That's verse 7. And then remember the Sabbath, verses 9 to 11. So we're working on verses 3 to 11 tonight. But verse 2, I think, is really what this all hinges on. And verse 2 says this: I am the Lord your God who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. So in fact, when we look at the Ten Commandments, we're not talking about God who starts with rules and says, don't do this, don't do this. What we see is God kind of makes a reprise, a memory, says, remember this thing I did. And it says that, remember, I'm the God who brought you out of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. And so the second blank you have is remember God. That's the second one you've got there. For the people of Israel, as they were walking through the desert, which is where they're at, when God comes up with, here's how you love me, he starts with, remember what I brought you out of. Now, in slavery, they were working for a tyrant. He said, you're going to spend this amount of time building bricks, assembling bricks, putting bricks up, and building castles and pyramids and whatever else for me because I want you to. I'm not going to help you. You're going to pay for everything, and you're going to do this because I told you to do this. If you don't like that, I've put soldiers there that if you want to fight with it, they'll kill you. And so this is who they're working for. And the people say, God, get us out of here. Like, get us out of this slavery. And so God sends a guy by the name of Moses who's got a robe and a beard and a really cool stick that can turn into a snake sometimes and eat other snakes. And it also can lead people in triumphant song, Disney style. But he's got a staff. And as he walks in, he goes to his, wow, Disney portrayed it as his older brother who they would ride around on the pyramids and on the walls together in chariots. That's how they threw it down. So he comes back to his brother and he says, let my people go. His brother's not a fan of that idea because it's his entire workforce. So he says, no, we're not going to do that. And so through a series of different things that God does through Moses, he says, let him go, let him go, let him go, let him go, let him go. And so finally Pharaoh says, okay, we'll let him go. As he lets them go, he then decides, man, that was a bad call for me to let them go. So he then sends his army after them. They come to an ocean that they cannot cross. Moses takes his really sweet singing spear thing, puts it in the water. It parts. He walks through. There's a humpback whale. People are singing to Mariah Carey and Whitney Houston saying, there can be miracles if you believe when you believe. And as they walk through there, they get out, and then the army comes through, and then as all the people come out and the army gets in, the water swallows up, but then somehow Pharaoh is able to swim from the very front, and everybody else can't swim, so he swims back to the back rock and goes, no! And then Moses is on the other side going, yeah, sucker! And so then they start walking around, and life is happy. They come to a mountain, and God says, come visit me on the mountain, enter the Ten Commandments, right? So for this people, we're talking about one who had just come out of slavery and have no idea how to love God. So God is saying, here's how you love me. And the first thing he starts with is remember. Because if God just started his relationship with us and just said, my first thing to you is this, do what I tell you to do. Many of us aren't going to say, you know what I want to do? I want to respond to that kind of love. Like if we come to the point of worship tonight and we're like, just listen to what God is saying to you. And God just, you know, says to you and goes, do what I said. You're like, man, I just love you so much, God. This is so great. I just stand and lift up my hands. That's not how that's going to play. But instead, God starts with, I've pulled you out of slavery. I've pulled you out of bondage. I've redeemed you from a tyrant. And I'm giving you a land that you didn't even earn. And I'm going to create in you a people that's going to be looked upon by all nations and going to say, it's good to be them. Those are the kind of people I'm going to make. So God starts with, remember. Remember where you came from. Remember what I brought you out of. Remember what I did. And so then we ask the question again in the reprise for our evening, is God reasonable by saying that? Is God reasonable by asking, remember what I did? That in our relationship with God, he just asks us, man, remember where you come from. Remember what I've done in you. Remember where you used to be. Remember who you used to be. Remember what you used to do. Remember where you used to be at. Remember what you were going through. Remember all of that. And remember, is God reasonable by asking that? The second one we've got for you is verse 3. And it says, you shall have no other gods before me. So this is the very first commandment. Like, you shall have no other gods before me. It all starts with one. And our blank that we've got there for you is keep God first. Keep God first. Now, if you notice, when God speaks of himself in Exodus, he's a capital G. You may say an original G. And then there's other lowercase Gs. We call those fakestas or wangstas, 50 Cent. So there's a lowercase G with everybody else. So he says, have no other gods before me. And again, is God reasonable for asking this? Now, we look at this and we say, like, God says, okay, I've pulled you out of there. I've done this for you. I've redeemed you out of the pit. But don't put anything before me. Is God reasonable? Because I'm sure when they were sitting in a pile of mud and they were making bricks, I'm sure that they were just calling out to whoever would listen. So I'm sure they started with, I don't know, name an Egyptian god. Can you help us out, bro? Ra. Yeah, good job, Stargate. And so then the next time they pull it out and they say, how about this guy? Nope. And then 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 they finally go, okay, Yahweh, you want to help us out? We're in some mud pits. And then next thing you know, this bearded dude named Moses shows up, and they're like, oh, no, he didn't. And so then as they go out, he's like, man, just all those other things, don't deal with that. So God's statement isn't, there are no other gods on the planet. What he does say is, there are no other gods like me. And so it'd be foolish for me to say that there are other people who aren't worshiping other gods on the planet, right? Lowercase g. But I think it's wisdom to say that there's no God like our God. And so plenty of people will say, I worship God, lowercase g, right? I just pick out something and this is great. You could make a totem pole out there and worship the God of, you know, Cattywampus and fall down and worship him because he's catty and he's wombusy and love him. And like, man, the God of Catty is so great. We have some really great worship services at Catty. We get really wombus up in here. You could do that, and people would be like, oh, that's great. There's that, right? But what the Bible says is that the capital G is unlike all those others. So there are plenty of lowercase g's walking around, but there's only one capital G. There's only one original G. There's only one, I don't know, gangsta. And so he's like, don't put any of those up there. Don't let those come up. And so when we look at us, right, the same thing we talked about a little bit in Nehemiah, the same thing we've talked about in worship is we find that we can create gods of anything. We can make a god out of whatever we want to. We can make gods out of boyfriends and girlfriends. We can make gods out of Xboxes. We can make gods out of possessions. We can make gods out of stuff. We can create something to be worshipped out of anything. And so I could get a brand new television, and that to me can become a lowercase g because I just love that thing. Right? I mean, if I go home and I open our, you know, armoire, or is that what it's called? Yeah, armoire. If I open an armoire, our thingy that's got doors that the TV's in, armoire. If I open that and I get the TV out and I turn it on and I just go, ah. Or if I turn on my computer and when it starts, it goes, pong. I just go, whoa. Right? It's like those little green guys with the claw. Oh, the claw. Right? That to them is the little G. Right? Toy Story, you're tracking. So their perspective of the claw was sweet. But then when they got to Sid's house and he blew them up with dynamite, that wasn't so fun anymore. So, lowercase g, we can create a god out of whatever. And now you would think, man, that's got to be really dumb. Right? You got to be some kind of dumb to make a god out of something. And this is where verses 4 to 6 come in. So we're going to read that. It says, you shall not make for yourself a carved image, any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. You shall not bow down to them or serve them, for I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children to the third and fourth generations of those who hate me, but showing mercy to the thousands, to those who love me and keep my commandments. So the next blank we have for you is, don't worship what you've made. Don't worship what you've made. Now, is God reasonable in asking that? If I make something, I haven't made a lot of things in my life. I'm not crafty. So I don't have the ability to make stuff. I've made a coffee table at my house. I made that in 7th and 8th grade. It was the best shop project in my junior high of 400 people represent. So if I made that table, and then I just sat before that table and loved that table and just said, this is the greatest table. The table, you are so fantastic that you hold my food. I am glad that when I put stuff upon you, it doesn't stress you out, doesn't burden you, doesn't make you hate me. But table, when I put stuff on you, you receive it gladly. Table, I love you. You are so great, oak table. And of all the love that I've put into you, man, you just give that love back to me, table. I can stand on you, and you love it. I can kick you, and you ain't mad. But table, I love you. Right? Now, you would think that that's unreasonable. And you would think for the people of Israel to have to hear, don't make something and worship it, that they've got to be dumb. But what happens is Moses goes up the mountain, And he goes to meet with God, and God's telling him these things. While he's strolling up the mountain, and they're sitting at the base of the mountain, and they can see God talking to Moses, a couple of people are like, you know what we should do? We should get some gold, and we should melt it. So they get some gold, and they start melting it. And they're like, you know what we should do with this melted gold? We should make something. So someone makes a mold, and they picked, of all things, a cow. So he said, we should take this gold and put it in that cow mold, and we should make a cow out of gold. How sweet would that be? Right? Because everybody just has a bored day in the desert, and they think, man, if I made a gold cow, that would be the coolest thing I've ever done. So they make a gold cow. As they bring it out of the cow, people go, whoa, look at the gold cow. And then somebody else says, look, that's the cow that brought us up out of Egypt. Worship the cow. So people start worshiping the cow. Right? People start like, I don't know what they did in worship. I'm sure they killed other cows to give to the cow. I'm sure that was part of the gig. But they were worshiping the cow. And you would think, man, you just melted some gold and put that together and lifted it up and you went, oh, we have made the greatest cow ever. Love that cow. And you would think, man, those guys are morons. Because God, who did bring them out of Egypt, is up there talking. And they're like, man, dude, check out the cow. That is nuts. You did really great work on the head and the mouth and the ears. It is almost like a real cow. If you put the gold cow next to my cow, we couldn't even tell the difference between the cows. Love that cow. So they start worshiping the cow. Now, Moses comes off of the mountain, and Moses sees the cow being worshipped and gets mad. Like, his response is he literally takes what God just wrote down and breaks it. So Moses is just up there with God, and he's walking down, and then he sees people worshiping the cow, and he must have been like, cattywampus! And breaks that, and then starts going nuts. I'm sure he's just fist-punching people. There's no good games going here. It's all face punches. And he is just going bananas. So as he's dealing with that, they worship the cow. And you go, gosh, they're so dumb. But now if you like backtrack this a little bit, right? Just say, okay, worshiping a golden cow is stupid. But think about some of the things that we just love, right? We just love. Like the whole Apple computer industry is beloved by a lot of people. And I don't know if Steve Jobs intended that when he made something, it would become what everybody gives away, right? Like everybody gets a free iPad shipped by FedEx that arrived in 2 days when you get hacked on Facebook. Yeah. So Kanan got hacked, man. Don't send him anything. So you see, oh, iPads are awesome. Yeah, that's so great. So we see that. And have you seen someone get a new electronic device for the first time? Especially if the thing's got power. If that's not a worship moment, I don't know what is. So it's like, oh, I can swipe. And the funniest thing to me about the iPad is when someone makes a fake fire. When someone gets like the fake fire app and turns it sideways and is like, look, it's a fake fire. Now, I've had plenty of moments. Like if you ask Rachel, I've had plenty of moments that way. So I'm not saying this as one who's like, everybody else is a moron and I'm not. No, I'm saying it as one who's like, if I get electronics and I got a Best Buy gift card for my birthday, whatever I buy with that money, odds are the first time I go, boonk, when that thing kicks on, I'm going to go, whoa. And we like worship that, right? So we put that little G above the big G. And we can find, man, people will spend hours going, wow, wow, whoa. Okay, now, people talk about how great the iPhone is. Do you know that there's over like 100 applications that deal with farting? But people still go like this. Whoa. That is, oh, man. Nuclear. And they're like, this is the greatest thing ever. So they'll walk up beside somebody and go. And they start dealing with that, right? If you've ever seen somebody get like a PSP or an iPod or something, meet somebody who gets like their first MP3 player for the first time, and you can't communicate to them because both earbuds are in, and they just walk around going, and they're in the grocery store with their parents. And they're sitting in school with a hoodie on, like a starter jacket. No one has those anymore, but that was sweet when I had one. So they're wearing that, or they're like walking in the hallways. And you see that that's that way. You can find this to be true about games, because for my birthday, I decided I wanted to be a real bum. So I borrowed an Xbox, and I played a video game all day. All day. Like, I sat in my pajamas all day and played video games. And what was really interesting to me was, one, I'm really terrible at video games, so it was not enjoyable at all. I was just mad the whole day. Like, I'm surprised I didn't break something and that the dogs lived. I'm surprised at those two things. But two, the video game I played has these rolling stats at the bottom that tells you, like, what stuff does. And in this particular game that I was playing, they had said that there was, like, in the number of times that people have played this game online against each other, that someone could have ran to the moon and back like 63 million times. It's like, that is mind-boggling. Like 63 million times to the moon. Like, so we can say, okay, games can become that way. I've seen people who worship music and just can't stop getting the newest, the latest, the best, the whatever. I've seen people worship movies. I mean, if you show up to a midnight showing of any movie, that junk is like a worship-a-thon. Especially like the Harry Potter and Star Wars movies. I'm like, you dressed up to go out in public as a fictional character. Let's fight for 4 hours in the lobby of Campbell 16. And Alan has to work that, and he knows, and he could tell you stories. But someone, for some of those movies, were like, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to be a stormtrooper today. And they put on the plastic white suit, and they can't move their elbows. But they're like, I'm the coolest guy here. This is so great, stormtrooper. And somebody else came as a lightsaber-wielding maniac and just went, Kah, stormtrooper dead. That's for choosing an idiot. And that's how, or people dress up in the Harry Potter sweaters, and they make their own wizard and wizardesses. I don't know if that's appropriate or whatever, but you got people with, like, those vampire movies. I'm sure somebody was like, check out my sweet vampire teeth. And they painted themselves with diamonds on their face, and they were just like, I just went out in the sun. And that's how it went. Okay, so if you love that, I'm sorry. You can see the worship of sports that happens because people paint their faces and everything else to go out to a sporting event. Here's something crazy. The Metrodome in Minnesota collapsed, like fell in on itself. I think the video on Fox is fake. I can't say that that's true, but it looks fake to me. But it's really collapsed. So what Minnesota did is they're now going to use the University of Minnesota as the place to play the game at. It's going to be negative 15 degrees when they play it. So what they said was, there's a snowstorm there right now, like 5 feet of snow. So there's this crazy snowstorm. And what they said was, if you love the Minnesota Vikings, what we'd love for you to do is to drive your car, to bring gloves and a shovel, and to help us shovel out the snow that's at the University of Minnesota. And people this week are not going to go to their job so they can shovel snow so someone else can watch a football game. Yeah. And the Vikings are 5-8. 5-8. Which, if you want to make sense of that, they will not be making the playoffs this year. They are not making it past the next 3 games of the season. And someone's like, do you guys want to go shovel that snow? How sweet will that be? And then they're out in negative 15. This is so great, you guys! And that happens with sports all the time. You can see people who get really wrapped up in their clubs. Proof that they made a show about how much people love singing in clubs. They call it Glee. And so there's a show about people who are part of that certain club that now people watch a show about a club and laugh about people who are in the club. Right? The same bears true of, like, band guy or girl, ROTC guy or girl. There's all these different clubs that people get involved in that are like, you know what? I am so dedicated to this. I'm going to shave my head. I love ROTC so much that I'm not even going to have a haircut. And they're going to go, bloop, 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 and they'll shave their head, and they're going to show up in school, and people are going to be like, you are the coolest person I know. And I know every one of your friends talks like that, but that's the I'm really cool and awesome voice, so feel free to use that. But you're the coolest person I've ever seen in my entire life. And that's how they shave it, okay? Now, you find that to be true about hobbies? Why someone would want to wake up at 3 o'clock in the morning to go sit in a stand at dark and not talk to anybody to hope to see a possible deer that they could maybe shoot And then if they do, to have to chase that thing down and then cut it and put pictures of its like guts and intestines out with their face like, oh, I'm a man. I just killed something. Right now, I'm not busting on hunting, so if you're a hunter. But have you thought about the extreme nature to which someone would go to track a deer? Like, and if you've ever gone hunting with somebody who's like serious about hunting, you just are like sitting in the tree stand and it's pitch black and you've stumbled over through everything to get there and you sit there and watch and then you're like, hey, so are we going to see a deer? And you just got like poof, rifle to the face. Shh. And you're like, okay, this is cool. And you start like tapping and they're like, the deer's going to hear you. And maybe you like breathe too deeply and they're like, shut. And they're like sitting in their basement, cleaning their gun and dusting their gun and like getting ready for it. And then as they are ready, it's like, are you gonna shoot it? Shut up. Shots down. And they're like, dang it, I missed. Shut up, I think they can hear us. Did you put deodorant on? They can smell. And then it's like, check out what I killed. There's like blood all over a person, and they come home, and it's like, mom and dad, check it out, I killed something. I didn't even throw up this time because I'm totally used to it now. I almost did right there. So, okay. Now, you can see food comes up for America a lot because we have a lot of food, and so people can worship food a lot. And you can find that food wars kind of start going on, that people start battling over which food is better. You like Pepsi or Coke, Mountain Dew or Mellow Yellow, Taco Bell, McDonald's. But let's just say this. If the restaurant wars happen, Taco Bell wins. No. I don't say that. Demolition Man said that. Sylvester Stallone. So food is a place where we can find worship here in America. Stuff, money, friends, notoriety, jobs, possessions, boyfriends, girlfriends. I mean, I could go on for days, right? And you would think, don't worship what you've made. And we feel like, man, you're stupid about the golden cow thing. But is God reasonable when he says, don't let something that's not me get above it, right? Is God reasonable? Because I'll be honest, I have an iPhone. Next year, it's obsolete. So I'm going to have to go buy a new one. But we can worship that thing in the day as if it's greater than God. We could say that, like, boyfriends and girlfriends, it may come and may go, but we can worship those things as if our life depends on it. And the best question for you to ask is when it comes to carved images, when it comes to things you've made, if you look at this, and if I was to ask you the question, when you were going through tough times, blank got you through. Like, when you were in the valley, blank helped you make it. What goes in the blank? And if it's not G-O-D, it's a carved image, right? So I know people who have been going through tough times and are like, man, when I put this song on, it just got me out. I mean, I was sitting down and I was like, I am so depressed. But then the Jay-Z song came on and the Jay-Z song came on. So I put my hands up because they were playing my song. And they were in the valley, but they were like, man, I'm just shaking my hands like, yeah. I'm moving my hips like, yeah. It's like, man, I can make it. I can make it. And then they would go through another day, and they'd find that the day is just really not going through that well. And they sat down, and then the Britney song came on. And the Britney song came on, so they just put their hands up. So they were playing their song. They were nodding their head like, yeah. They were shaking their hips like, yeah. I can make it, right? There's people who have said that. There's people who have been like, man, if it wasn't for this person, I wouldn't have got out. I wouldn't have made it. If it wasn't for this, if it wasn't for that. And we can see how quickly something, if even very good, may pull us out. And really, we see that we're starting to worship that thing, you know, more than God. And I can say, man, love Rachel. Love her lots, right? But if I look at, say, I don't know, we go through some really rough time, and I say, Rachel is the one who brought me out of it. Rachel's the one who kept me going. Rachel's the one who did that. Now, that may be true, but if I look to Rachel and depend to Rachel for that, she's my carved image. because I'm looking for her to get me out of stuff when really I should look to the one who's created everything anyways. And so it's really easy to look at the golden calf and go, man, you guys are idiots. But I bet if we were to fast forward and the Israelites could stand here and we could speak English and they could speak Hebrew and everybody would be happy. And I bet if we could communicate and we turn on an iPhone and we were like, check this out, Hebrews. Isn't that nuts? Swipe. That's a fire right there. Do you want me to pretend like it's a match? Watch this. Match. Fake fire. Do you want to see a lightsaber? You don't even know what that is. What, do you want me to play music? Speakers. They would probably go, seriously? And they'd be like, but check out our cow that we made. We'd be like, this guy's an idiot. And we would both look at each other and go, you guys, you're such a moron. But if that thing becomes the thing, then we have created our own golden cow. The last one, I think, is verse 7. For us tonight, is you shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless who takes his name in vain. We'll say this, God is not common. God is not common. God's not common. And I was mistaken, we got one more. We'll hurry through this one, but God's not common. Now, when most of you hear, do not take the Lord's name in vain, you think of one of two things. You think of someone using the phrase Jesus Christ as a swear word. So, like, I was walking through a dark room. Someone scared me. Wah! Jesus Christ. And then you go, whoa. Right? There's that one. Or it's when someone says, God damn something. Now, that is a very accurate phrase where God would eternally damn something. But when you put God and damn together, that becomes the no. Right? So those are the two things that people say, now don't do that. That's taking the Lord's name in vain. Right? So we find other ways of saying those sorts of stuff. We say like, gosh darn. Gosh darn, you guys. Gosh darn. Right? Or daggum. Yeah, switch a couple of those letters around and guess what you got? So there's, man, gosh darn. Right? Or some people always have like other guns. Cheese and crackers. That's the other one I think that people bust out. So, man, cheese and crackers. That's how it goes. But that's not what vain is limited to. If I was to go running and it didn't do anything for me, then guess what I just did? I ran in vain. Right? So I could just run about, and I don't ever do this anymore because I'm old and my knees aren't like they used to. So I'll never do this motion. But if I just went running and I was like, man, I'm never going to lose this weight. I just ran in vain, all right? If I was to study for a test, come to the test, and fail the test, I studied in vain, right? Everybody's tracking. So that doesn't mean don't study finals time, all right? That's not one of those things. It's not one of the, well, I'm going to fail anyways. Don't want to do it in vain. So it's the vain is doing something so that it means nothing. So we find that we can use God's name in vain for a lot. And we can treat God, the name of God, the idea of God, and make it seem as if it's nothing. And that to us is taking the Lord's name in vain. So a really practical example for us is we live in a portion of the country where everybody believes in Jesus, it seems. You walk the streets and it seems like everybody is like, oh man, Jesus is my homeboy. Yeah, Jesus is my rock. Jesus is my rock star. People have all these different ways that they say, man, I love Jesus, right? That seems very common. Now, there's some people who are way off more than you expect, but there's some people who just don't know. But for a lot of people in our demographic and where you're at, a lot of people will say, oh, yeah, I believe in Jesus. And they'll claim the name of Jesus, say the name of Jesus, put on their religious views that they're a follower of Jesus. They party with Jesus. It's great. Woo, Jesus. But if that does not translate to something, saying the name of Jesus and associating it to you is taking God's name in vain. It's to say, I am a follower of Jesus, but I really don't follow Jesus. That to you is taking the Lord's name in vain. Now, is it reasonable for God to say, don't make me common? Because when people hear the name Jesus, that should stand out. Like when someone hears the name Jesus Christ, they should go, oh, he's what's up, right? There shouldn't be like a, yeah, whatever, you know? We find that that can be true for us because we've been around the God thing for a while, and we say like, oh yeah, you know, who you love? Who are you going to, you know, worship? I just love the big guy in the sky. He's my dog. Right? That's in vain. Like, that's just taking him in vain. Like, God who created the universe, forms all things, knows all things, creates all things, is more powerful than all things, and we're like, you're my boy, Blue. Up there. You're my guy, big guy. It's vain, right? And to even to say the name God and to make it seem like meaningless, that to us is taking his name in vain. So it's not limited to two phrases, but if I'm just walking around going, God, God, if that becomes the life that I live, then God in itself to me is common. And the idea of saying God by itself is vain. If I walk around and say Jesus all the time and it has no meaning for me, then Jesus to me is vain. And that's where God says, don't make me common. And is he reasonable for that? The last one we've got is verses 8 to 11. And it says, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord your God. In it you shall do no work, you, nor your son, nor your daughter, nor your male servant, nor your female servant, nor your cattle, nor your stranger who is within your gates. For in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth, the sea, and all that is in them, and rested the seventh day. Therefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. The last blank we've got for you for tonight is rest consistently. And is that reasonable for God to say rest consistently? Now, when God made things, he made it in 6 days. And then it says that he rested. Now, God wasn't resting because he was tired. So it's not like he got to the end of 6 days and just went, whew, I am beat. Man, God needs a futon. Holy cow. I'm exhausted. And God just sat up in heaven and just went, okay. That wasn't the resting. He just got done and went, look at that. I mean, look at what I made. And so is it okay for God to ask, rest consistently? And we live in a culture that's not one of rest. We live in a culture that's not one that takes breaks well. And you find that even the things that we rest in require a lot of work. And a perfect example is the idea of going on vacation and traveling somewhere. Right? So think of the last vacation you took that you went somewhere for. And just go, it's in my brain. So as you went and did that thing and you got away and you went on vacation and you came back home, the first thing you probably thought was, I'm tired. Like most vacations, you don't come home and you go, wow, I'm so well rested. This is just fantastic. And you'll find as you get older and you get married and you travel to go see your family again, that in itself is exhausting. Like you sleep in a room that's not your own anymore, and you're sleeping in some side bedroom that's become a storage room closet or some place where your mom decides to knit because she picked that up. And so you're sleeping in the knitting room now, and you wake up and you're like, God, what is on that bed? Unbelievable. Like you find that you could not get a Slumberland. Instead, you got, you know, some piece of cardboard on a spring, and you're like, whoop. And then you sit down, and your parents are like, guess what? We've got the whole day planned. Here's what we're going to do. And you go around and you do all this stuff. You come home and you're just like, I'm so tired. And then you go, I wake up the next day and you're like, man, my other side hurts from that cardboard. Wah. Can we buy a bed while we're out today? And so you have that thing going. And then the next day they have this whole thing planned out. And so then you get home and you go, I'm so glad to be home. I'm so happy. Can we wear pajamas and snuggle? Because I am just exhausted. And that's there. So right, your vacation, you're like, oh, we're going to go to Disneyland. Yeah! And you're like, we got sweet deals. We're going to fly and sleep in really great hotels. And we're going to Epcot Center and do all this awesome stuff. That's really Disney World, but it's cool. And so you do all this traveling. You're waiting in line for 3 hours to ride the spinning stupid make you vomit thingies, and you ride on the Dumbo that spins around, and you go 30,000 leagues under the sea, and it's like octopus, and there's all this different stuff you go on, and you're like, woo, Splash Mountain, which is totally deceptive because there's deer and sweet music, and all of a sudden you come out of the top of the mountain, and it's like, wah! And you go down and you splash, and you walk around, and you get to the end of the day at Disneyland in your world, and you're like, woo, oh man, we're tomorrow. What is tomorrow? Epcot Center? Man. Whew. What is after that? Universal? Okay, Jaws. And you come to the end, and you're just like, man, I'm exhausted. And Caleb and Tim can start coming up here. We'll be getting ready to go in a second. But to say to rest consistently, like, do you have days where you just don't do stuff? And God's plan for you was to have a day where you would work six, and on one day you would just say, there's nothing. And I'll say, in America today, it's really hard to take a Sabbath day. It's really hard to say, I will not do something on this day that equals work. Really hard. But that doesn't change the fact that God said, take a break. And I'll say, if we don't rest consistently, if we don't break consistently, if we don't take time to just relish consistently, then what's going to happen to us is we never have time to celebrate anything. We never have time to enjoy what's of that week. We never have time to celebrate what's happened. We never have time to enjoy because we're constantly going, constantly going, constantly going, constantly going. And so God said, rest. And is he crazy for saying that? Is he unreasonable? And so as I went through the Ten Commandments and I asked myself the question, is God unreasonable for this? When it comes to morality 101, Ten Commandments, I look at it and I say, man, God seems to be really reasonable to me in all of this. He doesn't seem like a tyrant. He doesn't seem like, you know, someone who's evil and hates us. He just seems like, I am looking out for your good. And so keep me first. Like, remember what I've done and keep me first. Whoa. That was awesome. Remember me and keep me first. The second, don't worship any other gods, right? Don't worship any other thing. Don't make something and worship what you've made. Be, what is the other one? God's not common, so don't take his name in vain. Don't make it so that God to you is something really common and easy. And then rest consistently. And what I found with the Ten Commandments for me is, before I got into the rhythm of understanding that this is God's way of saying, this is how you respond when you love me, I always looked at the Ten Commandments, and I always felt like they were accusing me of doing really bad. Like, I always felt like it was God's way of saying, you've fallen short yet again, Justin. And on Monday, Caleb and Tim and I were just kind of hanging out back here, and Caleb was like, I want you to hear this song. And the premise of the song is this. It's the way that things in the Bible can just stand out to us and accuse us. It's almost like you read something in the Bible, and the one thing you flip to is the one thing you did bad that week. And it's as if God's sending up the big red X, and it's just like, you're a failure. Right? And even as we walk through this, you know, remember what God has done. Keep God first. Don't worship other things. Don't worship something you've made. Don't make God common. And then take rest. You could hear that, and you could go, I'm failing on all four. And go, what am I going to do with this?